Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Good morning, church. It's good to be with you. We're in John chapter 11 as we continue in the Gospel of John to Easter. Today, starting in verse 28. And before I read the scripture for the morning, will you join me in a word of prayer? God, you are Emmanuel. You are with us. You say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And you say, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." Holy Spirit, be with us as we receive your word. Would it break through to our inmost being, our mind and our heart, that we would know what it is that you have to speak to us today, that we would know how to carry that into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. When Martha had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, when she saw him, she fell at his feet. She said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our passage today is highlighting a lot of contrast. Contrast, you know, day and night. Bright stars in a night sky. These lights in my eyes right now. You know. Mourning for laughing. Weeping for laughing. Contrast. We've been looking at the life of Martha and Mary. Last week we looked at Martha. This week we look at Mary. These are two sisters, both very close friends of Jesus, and they start out very similar in John 11. So similar, in fact, they actually use the same words to Jesus at first. At first. They say this, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Central belief. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, last week, Martha went on to say this stunning declaration of faith. She said, "But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." That was Martha. That was last week. This week, Mary doesn't get any further from that central belief. "Lord, if you had have been here, my brother would not have died." In fact, the passage suggests to me that She barely even made those words out because it says as soon as she got to Jesus, as soon as she saw Jesus, what did she do? She fell down at his feet. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I think she barely gets it out. I wonder if Jesus barely heard her. Unlike Martha, who seems to have been talking to Jesus face to face, it seems to me, my paraphrase, but Mary is weeping. She's sobbing. Her brother has died. She falls down at Jesus' feet. She doesn't know what else to do, and the only words that come out of her lips are those central belief words that her and Martha both share. If you had been here, if you had been here, then there would have been a chance. But you weren't here. Essentially, what is Mary asking? She's asking, why? Why weren't you here? Why didn't you intervene? I know you could have done something, but why? Why didn't you? Why is a powerful question. I think it hits every single one of us. And I want to share a story with you that's very personal to me. It happened on August 4th, 1968. And it involved my dad. When my dad was an 8-year-old boy, one night, he all of a sudden found himself in panic mode. Go to a neighbor's house and get help. Moments later, he's in his parents' bedroom, and his father, my grandfather, is dying of a heart attack. Completely terrible situation. And that's what happens. My father watches his father die when my father was 8. My dad felt alone. He felt abandoned. His family went to church. They confessed with their lips, believed in their heart. They prayed, they worshiped. They believed like any of us who believe in the Lord. You know, Lord, if you had been here, it wouldn't have happened. We know that you are able to, but you weren't. So what happened? Why did you let that happen? I would imagine that you have why stories as well. I think we all do. So I can ask you rhetorically, what are your why questions? What are the big why moments of your life? Maybe it was years, decades ago. Maybe it was this weekend. What are the big why questions of your life? Do you relate more with Martha from last week who said, but even now, I know that whatever you ask, God, he will give you? Or do you relate more with Mary? Why? And we can go back and forth. In my own life experience, sometimes it's more one than the other. We're human. What is it for you? And verse 33 says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And I'm so thankful for that verse, actually. And I like the way that Dave said it earlier in this worship hour, of what's our image of God? Is our image of God a God who is far away, back turned, arms crossed? Or is God a God who is Emmanuel, who is with us? Deeply moved and greatly troubled is language that's coming in close. It's language that's saying, I'm not running away from this. I'm not ignoring this. I'm with this. I'm coming towards you. You're not going to be alone in this. Jesus receives Mary. He doesn't avoid her. He doesn't go the other way. Jesus receives our whys, our pain, our suffering. The image in my head is Mary collapsing before Jesus in her grief, and Jesus meeting her there. In fact, I go so far as to imagine, because I mean, it's about to say Jesus wept. The image in my mind is Jesus and Mary collapsing into each other's arms, soaking each other's t-shirts with their tears. Lazarus is dead. We loved him. He was my brother. He was my brother. He's dead. And I'm heartbroken. God is with us in our pain. He sees your deepest pain, and he's pulling you in close. Jesus is God. Jesus knew all. Jesus knew that just a few days later, it would be the same Mary who in John chapter 12, just the next chapter, ends up anointing Jesus. She anoints Jesus' feet, declaring him Lord, declaring him worthy, anointing him as Lord, anointing him for his burial. That text goes like this. You'll have to forget the spoiler alert if you haven't read this before. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. This image of Mary being right there with Jesus, anointing his feet. The passage Tim read last week was Luke 10, when Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And when you use that language, sitting at the feet of a teacher, of a rabbi, what you're saying is Mary's a student of Jesus's. See, one thing we're trying to do in this series is debunk kind of the common stereotypes of Martha and Mary, Martha and Mary. This week, we learn that Mary isn't just passively sitting around. She's engaging with Jesus. She knows who he is. She's a student. He's the teacher. She's getting a world-class seminary education, best there's ever been given. She's going to Jesus Seminary. This is amazing. She's an intellectual. Her mind's on fire, and because of that, her heart's on fire. Some of you can relate with that. It's a beautiful thing. She sits at his feet. Jesus is turning the world upside down with the way that he breaks cultural customs. A woman sitting at the feet of Jesus, student teacher. Different dimension of Mary. So that when Martha comes in John 11, our passage today, what does Martha say? She doesn't say, hey, your friend is here. She doesn't say, the rabbi is here. She doesn't say, the Messiah is here. The Lord is here. What does she say? She says, your teacher is here. That's pretty cool. That's a different way of viewing Mary than we usually view Mary. And then Jesus speaks for the very first time in this narrative in John 11. In verse 34, Jesus, I'm going to say, finally speaks, where have you laid him? This is Jesus. Where is Lazarus? Where is my friend? Where is he? I mean, we have to fill in. We don't have a movie clip, you know, of how this all went. How did it go? How did he sound? Where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Come and see. That's the very phrase that Jesus uses earlier in John 1 to his disciples. Come and see. I'll talk more about that in a minute. We come finally to what's so famously known for folks who have been around church for a while is the shortest verse in the Bible. And it's kind of fun. If you memorized the verse yet, here we go. John 11:35. Jesus wept. I never know what to say after that. Jesus wept. My questions are, for how long? What did it look like? What does that mean? Jesus wept. It's a startling image. Mary hears that her teacher is looking for her. She goes and meets Jesus. She collapses at his feet. She barely makes it out what she's trying to say. If you had been here, Laz wouldn't have died. And now they're weeping together. Is the image that I see in that. Why was he weeping? I mean, isn't he God? And then I think to myself, why wouldn't he be weeping? Do you know how God is most known, most revealing of himself in Scripture? Is it his righteous anger? Or is it his steadfast love that keeps coming in close, that keeps making a way? Is it not why Jesus is here? Is it why Jesus in a few days will be on a cross to atone for the sins of the world so that all who call on his name may have life, may be unbound, may experience right relationship with God? Jesus, who in a few days' time will cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In this moment, in this precious moment, is with Mary, weeping for probably all kinds of reasons. Mary's not the only person asking why in today's passage. Verses 36 and 37 read, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? More contrast. On one hand, whoa, see how he loved him. On the other hand, well, I guess this isn't the Messiah. Because wouldn't the Messiah have saved his close friend? Why? It's a bit of a loaded question, though, I think. I think that there's a great lie that has swept across every culture, across every generation, including ours, a great lie that comes to us, that comes to you and me today and says that the final reality is death. Lord, if you had been here before the death moment, you could have done something about it. But now that we're there, it's done. Jesus asked, where have you laid him? Their response is final language, language of conclusion, of permanence. Come and see, permanence. He's there, the grave. He died, Jesus, 4 days ago. He's dead. Come and see. That's the end of the story. The great lie. Jesus, the author of life, uses that same phrase when he calls his disciples, when he calls you and me, and he says, come and see. But he's not referring to the grave as final language. What is he referring to? Himself. The one on whom grave has no hold. No claim. Come and see. Jesus victorious over the grave. Over the grave. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. It's one thing to believe that Jesus can open the eyes of a blind man who's living. That's what's going on here. If you had been here, there's undercurrent of other kind of belief. But what I declare to you today is that not only can Jesus open the eyes of the blind, Jesus can raise the dead to life. Jesus can look into a valley of dry bones and say, bones start rattling together. Bones take on flesh. Bones pick up a heart and let it beat. Bones have breath. Jesus is the author of life. John chapter 1 says it like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's what we get to celebrate the next two Sundays, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday. Jesus is the light of the world. I hope that that's undergirding as we process all of these why questions. Again, I don't know anybody who has not asked the why questions. Some of mine, I feel like the list keeps getting longer, are, God, why did you let Joel get onto that motorcycle? God, why didn't you heal Carrie's cancer? God, how come you didn't stop one of my best friends from walking away from you and hating you? What are your why questions? You can take those to God. Another one of mine is, God, why didn't I get to meet my granddad? For 30 years, my dad lived with the pain that comes when you believe in God, but you expect something from him and it doesn't happen. I expected you to come through and you didn't come through, not how I was asking you to come through. So I'm a broken person. Because for 30 years, I've been seeing that little boy sit in the corner, watching his dad die, watching the ambulance finally arrive too little, too late, with no oxygen, but plenty of morphine. And hearing my dad say, elephant on my chest, morphine. That's better. Whatever your pain is, whatever your why is, it's real, it's valid. There's a cool continuation of this story. Cool because it's a blessing, it's a gift. Not necessary for whatever your why is, but I want to tell it to you. A few years ago, my dad is in church praying, testimony right there. And in that time of prayer, they start praying about that night. And all of a sudden, the only way my dad can describe it is a vision. Something that the Lord just puts right there. You can't deny it. You know it when you see it. And my dad is there in the corner, same situation, alone, scared, weeping. But then there's Jesus. Jesus has come to him and is down with him and is holding him, and more than that, is weeping with him. And my dad realizes something that he hadn't quite got in all those years. Jesus was with me. And Jesus is with you and whatever your why is. I can't answer the why question. I can't even answer my own why questions. I definitely can't answer your why questions. But what I can share with you, I give to you today, that when we have these why moments, God is with us. He's with us. In Christ, you're never alone. And you don't have to take my word for it. And you don't need an experience like my dad had. Jesus himself, after his resurrection, says, I will be with you, to the end of the age. Word spoken to every child of God. I am with you. That's why we can come to him and we can say, you are Emmanuel. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being with us. Thank you for weeping with us. Thank you that when we come to you with our whys, you come to us with your with. Thank you for being with us. Help us to be with others who are hurting the way that you are with us. Give us a way to do that, small or big, this week, to be with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.